All right, we are in a series of sermons entitled, Allow Me to Introduce Myself, and we're talking about Yahweh, and he does that very thing for us in Exodus chapter 34, if you want to turn there. Preachers always struggle with the beginning of their sermons. What is the right thing to say as you start the sermon out? Most preachers like to find some type of moving story, some inspirational story that will grab the hearts and the minds of the audience. Some preachers like to start out with a joke, all right, that gets their attention and gets them tuned in to what he is about to say. Others like to start with a provocative question, all right, to get those wheels in their minds turning. Well, I don't have an inspirational story for you this morning. I don't have a joke. Because I don't believe today's sermon lends itself to those forms of introduction. But I do have a provocative question. And let me warn you, we are going to jump into the deep end of the pool right at the outset. Here's the question I have for you this morning. Is God trustworthy? Is God trustworthy? And I'm going to be very transparent with you this morning. There have been times in my life when I really struggle with that question. And maybe you have too. Because as I deal with difficulties and the disappointments of life, sometimes I wonder whether or not God is actually who he says he is. Is he the God that he says himself is full of compassion and grace, steadfast love and faithfulness, forgiving and just? That's how God describes himself to Moses up on the mount in Exodus chapter 34. We've read it several times. But I also find comfort in the fact that I am not the only one who has these types of struggles, who have stepped back and wondered, is God trustworthy? Can I really rely on him? Is he dependable or not? Let me give you just one example of that. If you want to turn to the little book Habakkuk, all right, in the Minor Prophets. It's kind of difficult to find. It's only three chapters. It's kind of tucked away there in the Minor Prophets. But I want you to listen to how the prophet opens up, all right, his prophecy. He says in verse 2, O Lord, how long shall I cry for help, and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack, and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous, therefore judgment comes forth perverted. And he is struggling, isn't he? He is calling God on the carpet. God, look at the world. Look at the state of things. Where are you? I thought you were a just God, a compassionate God, and yet there is violence and destruction and evil and pain all around me, and I have cried out for help, and you have not answered. That's just one example. And he's thinking on a much larger scale. He's not even talking. I mean, it's having a personal effect on him, no doubt. He's really struggling with this in a mighty way. And so I find comfort with the fact that I am not the only one that struggles with the question, is God trustworthy? Can I depend on him? Is he the covenant-keeping God that he says he is? Well, that's what he claims for himself. So let's turn over to Exodus chapter 34 and let's read what God said to Moses. We've read it several times, but our theme this year is developing a deeper awareness of God. And I think the best way to do that is to listen to God directly. Allow him to introduce himself. And so he says to Moses in Exodus 34, verse 6, "The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, 'The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation.'" Let me ask you, what part of that was Habakkuk struggling with? He was wondering. God says, by no means clearing the guilty. And Habakkuk's looking around going, "I see bloodshed everywhere. I see evil people triumphing, righteous people being punished, oppressed, suffering. You call yourself a just God? Show me." It's a question, I think, at some point in our lives, either consciously or unconsciously, we struggle with. So my attempt this morning, and I don't know how effective I will do it, I'm going to try to answer that question. Is God trustworthy? Is he faithful? We're looking at one particular word there in Exodus chapter 34 in verse 6. The very last word, it says that he is full of faithfulness. The Hebrew word for faithfulness is the Hebrew word emet. It literally means truth. It is often translated true, truth, or trustworthy. And so your translation may actually use one of those words. Instead of the idea of faithfulness, it may be asking, is God true? Or is he trustworthy? The word amen that we often use, and some people think the word amen means what? Let it be so. But it really means this is true. Offers a prayer and we say amen, we're saying let that be true. And so the word literally means truth, but it can also be translated trustworthy. It has the idea of reliability, dependability, consistency. Walter Bergerman said that emet is witness to Yahweh's complete reliability. So what God is claiming for himself is that he is reliable, he is trustworthy, he is faithful, that you can count on him. He is saying, I am Yahweh. And if we look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 through 12, all right, that's the last book of the Old Testament. All right, God is having this conversation with his people, and his people have been notoriously faithless. They struggle their entire lives to keep the covenant that they had made with God. And in Malachi chapter 3, he says, let's just turn there and read it, instead of me guessing or trying to recall it from memory, because that's not going to work. Malachi chapter 3, pages are sticking together. Verse 6, Malachi chapter 3. "For I, the Lord, do not change." Phrase, not change, is the Hebrew word emet. "Therefore, you, O children of Jacob, have not perished. Ever since the days of your ancestors, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." God says to his people who have failed to keep the covenants that I want you to return to me. And he reminds them that their existence is not grounded in their faithfulness or their value. It is rather grounded in God's own identity. Yahweh says, I do not change. God does not change through the passing of years. He does not disguise himself from his people. He does not hide himself from his people. God remains steadfast and committed to his covenant. God is faithful to his promise, to his covenant love. Israel, God says, you continue to exist because of who I am. We can place our trust in the trustworthiness of God because of who He is. He does not change. Let me ask you, who is the most reliable person you know? And what qualities make them reliable? Who is the most reliable person you know? And what qualities make them reliable? That's not a rhetorical. It came to me. What qualities? You don't have to name the person, but think of them and then tell me what qualities make them so reliable and trustworthy. They keep their word. If they say they're going to do it, they're going to do it. They say what they mean. I've got a friend of mine named John who sometimes I'm going through a difficult times and he says, Adam, I need to say something you're not going to like. I need to say something hard to you. And he will speak some hard truth into my life. And I've built that relationship with him and actually encourage and invite him to do it. That's an act of faithfulness, isn't it? It's not just letting me go off down the wrong path. And yet, when I make a mistake, when I make a serious blunder, or I commit a sin, you know what he doesn't do? He doesn't cast me off. He doesn't say, you know what, our friendship is over. He may call me to faithfulness and to repentance, and yet he is full of compassion and grace. And he's there to help me pick myself up off my feet and dust myself off and carry on. God will keep his promises to us. He will do what he says he'll do. He will fulfill every promise. And when I say that, there's a sigh of relief that comes over me. He is faithful. But then in the back of my head, there's a part of me that goes, yeah, but there are some promises I'm not sure I want him to keep. Because Jesus says in John 16 and verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. Did he have to say that? I mean, couldn't he do something about it so we don't have to face any trouble? And yet Jesus makes another promise in Matthew 28 and verse 20. I am what? With you always. You see, when I think of God being trustworthy and faithful, and I'm dealing with difficulty or darkness in life, I expect deliverance. That's what Habakkuk was wanting, wasn't it? He wanted somebody, God, to step in, stop the pain, stop the violence, stop the destruction, remove him from the situation, and make everything a bed of roses. And sometimes I want nothing more than that. But I have to remind myself that sometimes while deliverance is a wonderful gift from God, and he does deliver. I mean, we've seen the Exodus story. We've seen other places where God does deliver people. Sometimes the greatest gift is not deliverance, but presence and perseverance. God doesn't always promise, I'm going to remove you from this situation, but he does promise that I will be by your side, which is why I think so many people like Psalm 23. Turn over to Psalm 23. I know it well, but I think it's worth reading again. Because sometimes familiarity keeps us from really seeing what's written. Verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, some of your translations say the valley of death, I will what? I will fear no evil. Because God, you're going to pluck me out of that valley and throw me up on the mountaintop. And everything's going to be sunny and peachy and great. No, he says, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. God's presence is proof of his trustworthiness. And though there are times when I feel lonely, I have to remind myself, I am never alone. God is faithful. And he gives me hope. John Mark Comer, in his book on Exodus 34, says this: hope is the absolute expectation of coming good based on the character of God. I know that good is coming. And even though it's hard to see it, I know that God's goodness abides with me. God is trustworthy. I think I've pointed out every week or often throughout this study that when we look for a clear picture of who God is, we need to look at Jesus. Because Jesus is the clearest picture of God that we have. And in Colossians, if you want to turn there, Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19, Paul says, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, right? In him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And so what Paul is telling us is that God is like Jesus, and Jesus is like God. If you want to know what God looks like, look at Jesus. This means that if God is a faithful God, Jesus perfectly exemplifies the faithfulness of God. In other words, Jesus is the most faithful person you will ever meet. He is completely reliable and trustworthy. And if you look at Colossians, right after Paul says that about who Jesus is, notice what he says in verse 19. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on heaven or in earth, by making peace through the blood of the cross. How do I know that God is faithful? By looking at the faithfulness of Jesus. And the greatest act of faithfulness on the part of Jesus was his going to the cross. I don't think Bill could have described it more beautifully this morning. Here he is in the Garden of Gethsemane, hours from his pending execution. And he is crying out to God. He kind of feels like Habakkuk. God, not my will, but your will be done. Let this cup pass from me. Father, I don't want to do this. And yet he did. And so when I struggle with the faithfulness of God, and I wrestle with the question, is God trustworthy? Do you know one of the things that I do? I climb a hill called Calvary. And I sit at the foot of the cross. And I remember the faithfulness of Jesus. And every Sunday morning, this is why, one of the reasons why Sunday morning is so important to me, I get to gather around that table with you beautiful people and take the bread and the fruit of the vine and remind myself that God is trustworthy and faithful. You see, memory is a powerful, powerful gift. In Psalm 77, the psalmist is again struggling with where God is, and he's again crying out for help, begging God to come to his side, his rescue. He's even to a point where he can't sleep. I mean, he is that disturbed. And he even blames God for his insomnia and says, God, you're the reason why I can't get a good night's rest. And when I think about you, God, all I can do is moan. I'm just so frustrated with you. But notice in Psalm 77, verse 11, after he goes through all this questioning about God, and by the way, he actually quotes Exodus 34 at the right before the passage we're going to read. It says in verse 8, he questions, has his steadfast love ceased forever? Are his promises at an end for all time? Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has his anger shut up his compassion? So he's actually thinking about Exodus 34. He He's got this, again, this struggle. And then this is what he says in verse 11. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. When I begin to doubt the trustworthiness of God, I stop. And I am intentional about remembering his good deeds. Now, this is not a book that I show anyone ever. It's one of my journals. It's now full, and I've moved on to another. It's full of scripture readings and prayers. And it also has, every day, three things that I'm thankful for. You've heard me talk about it. So I want to share some of those things because it's in those moments in the morning when I'm writing these three things out that I have my faith strengthened and renewed. And when I get to questioning the trustworthiness of God, I can pick up my journal and I can leaf back through it and I can see where God has stepped into my life. Maybe not in the way I envisioned or asked for, but he has stepped into my life and brought goodness into it to remind me of his presence, power, and his promises. For example, I've got a few things here on August 16th, 2023. All right, last year we hadn't lived here not even a month yet. Many of you know the transition from Ohio to Michigan was difficult for many, many reasons. I listed here some of the things that I'm thankful for is riding my bike with my boys. The last thing I listed, Abraham and Abby and their care package. Abraham and Abby are with us this morning. They're friends from Ohio. If you have the time, say hello to them, welcome them, especially Abraham. If you're feeling especially generous and going the extra mile, be nice to Abby too. She's like the sister I never wanted or anybody wanted. She knows I say that with love. All of a sudden, my pen went missing this morning, and I couldn't find it, and I looked down. Somebody had replaced it with an Ohio State Buckeye pen. Who was that, Abby? Not a good friend. I leaf through here, and I find other things. August 22nd, 2023, 23 years of marriage. First day of school for my boys. Turn the page. Breakfast with Adam Joseph. Turn a few more pages. Lunch with the Wintons. A good Lord's Day of worship and fellowship with my new family at Wheeler Road. Is God trustworthy? I look out at your faces, and there's the evidence. And it's all around. If we would just stop and open our eyes. God is faithful. He is trustworthy, and he challenges us to be people who trust him. He reminds us over and over again, I am Yahweh. I do not change. In other words, I am who I am. I do not forget my love for my people. God will not forget us. God will not forsake us. God will be faithful. We are his people. And he does love us. We serve a faithful God. A God who created us in his image, Genesis 1 and verse 29, which means that we are to be like him. That means we strive to be faithful like he is faithful. And so the question comes back to us. Yes, we've demonstrated, and by the way, another way, let me throw this in there, to remind yourself of God's trustworthiness is to spend time with the great cloud of witness in the Hebrew Scriptures. I don't have time, But I was going to take you to Genesis chapter 15 and then to a passage that Lauren pointed us to in Romans chapter 4, talking about Abraham. Because Abraham's the first person in Scripture to have said that he believed and met God. And even though he was well up into age, and his body was as of dead, and his wife was barren, he believed beyond all hope that God was faithful. And so when I open the Scriptures, I am surrounded by a great cloud of witness of person after person after person after person who, yes, at times struggled trusting in God, but also who can testify, who are witnesses of God's trustworthiness. And I can read their stories, and I can find myself in their story, and I can find a way to relate to them, and it increases my faith. You want a good reason for reading Scripture? I can't think of a greater one. It will increase your faith by leaps and bounds. And it will compel us to take upon ourselves the image of our Creator. That we too will grow in faith and trust in God. And that we too will become reliable, dependable, trustworthy people. So that people can trust on us just as much as they trust in God. He is calling us to trust and obey. What do we need to do? What do I need to do to be a more trustworthy and faithful person? To be the type of person others can count on. To do what I say I'm going to do. To be reliable, loving, and truthful with others. That prematurely. We're going to say a prayer. And then, Lauren, if you would, please lead us in a great song. Great is faithfulness. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, we come before you in reverence and in awe, grateful for the wisdom and truth that we find, Father, in your word. Father, as we reflect on your faithfulness and trustworthiness, we acknowledge your steadfast love for us, your faithfulness, and your unchanging nature. May your truth guide our steps and illuminate, Father, our paths. Father, we pray that your truthfulness will permeate every aspect of our lives, grounding us in integrity and in righteousness, helping us to speak truth, to walk in honesty, and to live with authenticity, reflecting your character to the world around us. Father, as we depart this gathering, may your trustworthiness and faithfulness be a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Strengthen, Father, our faith. Increase our trust in you. We ask all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.